The playoffs are near, and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Can you see it? Did you know?
Checked, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves the puck.
To the line, Hughes, Jones!
Yes, existence. Take you to the sun.
First career NHL goal. Quinn Hughes makes it 1-0.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What our house.
Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores!
Public display is that what you need?
They sleep the dragon.
Existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic. You can use promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word. Hockey Season, that will get you $5 off your order at ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic. You can find them on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, what have you. Zephyr Epic has got you covered on your trading card needs, so go check them out. Retail location in Surrey as well. The best part about Zephyr Epic, they ship free anywhere in Canada from
Victoria, beautiful place, capital of British Columbia. 10-year-old kids in BC learn that because they all think that Vancouver is the capital. But Victoria, capital of British Columbia, all the way to Verdun, Manitoba, which has a population of 3,114. No, the farming community, they call it over there, Gopher Creek. So that's a cool farming community name, I think, personally. And some attractions in Verdun is what everyone's asking for probably right now. The Verdun Pioneer Home Museum, which is known as the Victorian Home of the Prairies. Verdun, wow. Manitoba.
That's a nice tie-in.
Want to know a good notable person from Verdun, Manitoba as well?
Sure.
You see him on Shark Tank, is that what it is? No, Dragon's Den. That's the Canadian version. Also, I think, owner, CEO of Boston Pizza, Jim Treliving.
Wow.
There you go.
Nice work.
Yep.
That was a good find. Okay, we're also delivered by the great folks at DoorDash.
Ding dong.
I almost forgot that. Use promo code CONVODD, capital C, capital D's, all one word, CONVODD. That will get you 25% off and free delivery on your first order with the DoorDash app. It does not get much better than that, folks. My name is Dave Quadrelli. I'm joined, as always, by the man who built the place. And, oh, what's that? What's going on?
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
There he is, Harmon Dial, joining us. Harmon, your intro music hit. How have you been?
Been doing well. My credit card bill was about to come any day now, so I figured I have to hop back in the studio, fire up the intro, and cash some checks.
So how have you been? Like, truly, like, our listeners haven't heard from you, and when's the last time we had Harmon on? It's
been a month.
Saw you, and it was like, yo, nice to see you, man. I haven't seen you in a long time. So where you been?
It's been a lot. It's been busy. I've been obviously doing not only Canucks stuff, but chipping in with some playoff coverage as well at The Athletic. And so just kind of branching out a little bit there. I spent a weekend at my parents' kind of like they're starting an orchard at an apple orchard at kind of like this I wouldn't call it a farm necessarily, but it's a big property. So helped out there for a weekend. And then I've also picked up badminton. I've gotten super, super
really?
Into it. Yeah. With me and one of my close friends, just on a whim, we were like, let's go. And we've gotten super into it now.
So where do you go for badminton? Also just glossing over the apple farm thing.
Yeah, no. So we go to a community center right by my house.
Oh,
and it's funny because him and I were both kind of in the same position where we never really played badminton growing up, but we in PE class would do it and we'd crush.
Yes.
So we were like we're going to be good at this, right? So we show up to the community center first time and we've got our rackets and everything. And we see most of the people there are, I'd say, between the ages of like 25 and 55. So we're some of the youngest people out there and we're athletic, right? And so we didn't think we were going to come in and dominate, but we're thinking, oh, we're watching just on the sidelines. We're like, oh, we're faster than these guys. Like, we'll be pretty good. First day we go in and we lose every single game. It's doubles. And, so that was humbling, but we've gotten a lot better since. And now I'm like really into it. So
that's awesome. Okay. So the farm thing we got to talk. I know you just said it wasn't a farm, but when you were away and Faber was explaining where you were, I was like, wait, what? Because by my count, he's the only active media member who is also farming at the same time as doing their media duties.
I'd hardly call that farming for me. I spent maybe 2 days there. It's all been my dad, but yeah, super small town there. I think the biggest attraction there is probably the subway. About a kilometer down. So it's a nice kind of area, though. It's picturesque with the mountains, and it's gave me a new respect for, I mean, it's giving me a new respect for the job I have. I'll tell you that much. I mean, putting fertilizer around like 5,000 or 6,000 trees. I'll take my day job. I'm not quitting that anytime soon.
I just see it as like Harm showing up and like, everyone's expecting, like you said, like, oh, you're laying fertilizer, you're, you know, trimming things, cutting things. But I feel like Harm's fan like gets everything set up, then they bring in Harm and he's like, all right, this is how many seeds per 60 we're putting in. This is like the apple entries per 40. Like, everything's just like being counted out with the analytics department. That's what Harm comes in to do for the orchard there.
Yeah, let me do the math as opposed to the actual laying everything out and the physical work.
I'll supervise. Okay. Chris, do you have anything?
I do. Didn't really get any sort of reaction to Verdun, Manitoba. And just wanted to put that out there. Didn't get any love there at all. And you're on your phone already, so you don't give a damn at all.
Well, because I wanted to get all my ducks in a row here because you have an exciting announcement that you haven't even talked about. Because something I realized.
Verdun's the home of Jim Treliving.
Okay, relation to Brad Treliving,
that's
right?
A big deal. Yeah, is that?
I think there's some sort of like.
I think that's his son.
I don't know if it's his son. I think they might be. I think that might be his uncle or something.
Okay. Wow.
I definitely think there's some relation.
Yeah, there is. I think for sure there is.
That is pretty cool. Okay, so you made an announcement. We did it with a Soprano style video on Twitter.
Which I'll tell you what,
it was a lot better than when we announced.
I was gonna say us three, that video we did for the Harmon announcement. I think we've learned our lessons from that video because this one turned out a lot better. I think what we kind of went with was much less acting, no more lines. And yeah, I think it went a lot better.
Just let the landscape do the work.
That's what we did. Yeah, we went with let's just copy an intro off of some other show and do it that way. That's what we'll do next time we bring on
and
someone.
It turned out well. And the announcement, for those that haven't seen the video, it's the pinned tweet on Canucks Army's Twitter, so go check it out. But the announcement, Chris Faber over here coming on full time with the Nation Network and Canucks Army, which is super exciting. I'm super excited for that. And the most exciting part for our listeners, for our listeners is that we are going 5 days a week next year, and it's a live show, which should be interesting.
Yeah,
because you'll hear things like most exciting fart, and it'll just stay in.
Yeah, it won't be edited out. Some of the things you say on you know, talking about your TikTok people that you're always following and all that stuff, that's going to be staying in.
Who do I follow on TikTok?
Your Addison Rae's and your I don't know anybody else on there that you follow. It's the only one you're ever talking about. But I'm excited because people first of all want to address this. A lot of people have been in the replies asking is like the feed going to change? Is it still going to be available on a podcast? And it's like, yeah, that's all going to happen. It's just the live show is going to be cool because I think this is what we learned doing the radio show is the live interaction is really fun. And we're going to be able to have that because we'll be streaming on multiple different things like YouTube for sure.
Twitter,
I think will be Twitter live there. So we'll have the chats open for all those so we can kind of react to people on the show and then, still going to release it in the podcast. It'll likely be up 20 to 30 minutes right after, right after we finish recording. So all that's going to be really fun. Don't have to worry about that. If you're just a podcast listener and you have no intentions of stopping by the YouTube channel or anything, podcast will all just be the exact same, which is cool. I'm really excited for the five shows a week. And man, I'll tell you, I'm just so, it's crazy. In the last month, graduating school, quitting Sportsnet, and now just having one job, it's been good. I've been feeling pretty stretched out for the last 2 years. So to have one place of employment is going to be a lot better. I think it's probably going to bring better content as well. And moving the show to 5 days a week is, I'm so pumped for that.
Yeah.
We'll finish morning skate every morning, walk right up to my place, have the studio set up there, and just see how it all goes. Cause it's going to be, the first few, I don't know. I think we're going to run quite a few episodes,
trials in the summer
that won't end up getting posted. It'll just be for us to kind of work out the kinks for sure. But yeah, that's going to be really fun when we get going. It's going to be a blast and regular guests and stuff. And it's going to be really good. I'm excited. I'm jacked up that the Nation Network wanted to, invest more into the Vancouver market, bring on two people full time here in Vancouver because of the good work that we've done with Canucks Army and Canucks Convo. So yeah, I'm jacked up. I'm really excited to fully get started on July 1st, but pretty much still just doing it now, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be
biggest free agent signing of the summer.
Yeah, so far. Thank you. Well, yeah. I don't think it's much bigger than Nils Omar. What's the battle there?
You almost, okay, it's the 11-minute mark, but you almost nailed it with jumping right into hockey talk because
yep.
Nils Omar, Disto was in my reply.
I said Omar too. I already messed it up.
Yeah, you said Omar. Shout out to Disto.
Well, that's how someone told me how to pronounce it, you were saying Omar, but Oman.
Yeah, Oman. Okay. Yeah, so Nils Omar, signed by the Vancouver Canucks. Chris, we're both defaulting to you on this one. We were just talking about it before the show started, and we were talking about how we don't really know much about this player. So give us the scouting report. What do the Canucks have in this player?
Yeah, I was up late last night, watched a lot of his games, watched him play the World Championships, watched about a dozen games of him in the SHL. There's definitely some raw talent that's pretty cool about this kid, pretty exciting. He's clearly 6'2". He's not one of these 6'2" on skates type of guys. He's a big body, skates well, has good length, an active stick in the neutral zone. He plays some center, probably more on the wing. He's not great in the faceoff dot, but I think when he's playing center, actually that's where I liked him the most because he's really smart and like I said, he's really lengthy. So when he's the third forward in on a forecheck, he's really good at kind of cutting off passing lanes when he's the high guy, I guess, if you're looking at the forwards or the low guy, however you want to look at it, as the third guy in the forecheck is what I'm trying to say. Skates really well, transitions really well from when he's, crossing the ice horizontally as well. And the first three strides are pretty impressive. There's probably some things offensively that he definitely needs to work on. If there's any hope for him to get to the NHL, there's a lot of things that need to improve. But I do think he's the type of player who can hop right into the AHL and be a guy that, plays some games. Could be a guy who plays a lot of games next year in Abbotsford. I'm guessing they're going to try and make sure that he's a full-time center because he played a decent amount of center last year. Played a lot of it in the World Championships as well. Kills penalties. Just a big body who can skate and really high motor. He was always moving around real hard, giving full effort on every shift, whether he's at 5-on-5 or on the penalty kill. So decent little signing, didn't put up a lot of points last year. The other thing that was really interesting to me is okay, so he was on the World Championship team. He played in every game and he was I think he had 16 points in 51 games last year, outside of the top 200 in the SHL. Linus Karlsson was ninth in scoring in the SHL, and he didn't play one game. So there's obviously something that coaches like from this player, that scouts like from this player, because if you're playing over the guy who's ninth in scoring and you only put up like 16 points in 52 games, there's obviously a lot of things away from the puck that he does well to get that opportunity to play over a guy like Linus Karlsson. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he looks like at development camp, like what he looks like compared to the other prospects in the system. I expect him to be one of the guys who's a little bit more advanced than some of the players that we're going to see for the Canucks that are, you know, younger. But inconsistencies in his game are definitely the way that he moves the puck. Like, there's a lot of flubbed passes, a lot of attempts to kind of make plays out of his own zone where he used the boards to bank it out and just had really bad angles with his passes that way. It's and the passing from him sort of reminded me of like Danila Klimovich a little bit, where, yeah, he can make some really pretty plays, but a lot of the time the puck doesn't get like fanned on, but it doesn't come off his stick nicely, almost. Like, he doesn't have very accurate passes. So there's a lot of things that he needs to work on, but good skater, can play center, 6'2", lengthy player, and a high motor. So feels like a decent addition to bring into your AHL team. I don't think he's like jumping into the NHL or bringing depth right off the bat. He's probably depth AHL player right now.
The one thing, and I'll have to do some digging on this, is, and shout out to Daniel Wagner, who kind of pointed this out. Sounds like Oman had an interview with an outlet called Dala Demokraten, where he said that he'd rather play in Sweden than in the AHL.
Ooh, okay.
So I wonder, do the Canucks think he can step into the lineup right away? Because, and obviously things change, and who knows what the exact dynamic is and what exactly went on. But initially, anyway, it seemed that when he was still a member of the Colorado Avalanche property with them, and obviously he went unsigned, but it seemed like he wanted an NHL spot, not to necessarily go down to the AHL.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was done when he was in the Colorado Avalanche organization. Hopefully things have changed with him, or he's recognized that, you know, maybe there's an opportunity if he's able to earn it, but that he wasn't going to get an NHL job with anyone.
Yeah.
Pure speculation here, but I wonder if you come here and you play in the A, you're close to Vancouver, you get to work with the Sedin twins. Maybe that had something to do with it.
Yep.
You never know.
Perhaps.
We'll see. We'll see exactly what's going to happen with Nils Åman.
But it is interesting, like, that somebody, you know, props to the Canucks scouting department for this, because this guy wasn't one of the top, like, the free agent that I bring up is like Rickard Hugg, who's, you know, similar age, put up a lot of points, played with Linus Karlsson. This is a guy, like I said, who's like outside the top 100, I think somewhere like 200th in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
You wouldn't expect that player to be the guy getting a contract with an NHL organization. So somebody's done a lot of scouting Åman is what we're saying.
Yeah.
We'll see if that changes or not when he comes to North America, but we're saying Åman right now. When he gets here, we'll see what happens with how he kind of just stacks up against other prospects. Like, a good example would be like, how does he look compared to Arshdeep Bains, who's the leading scorer of the WHL, a year young, like Bains is a couple years younger or 1 year younger. How do those two, like, move differently? How do they handle the puck differently? Like, I think those are two players that are going to come into the AHL team and play AHL games. But what is the skill difference between Arshdeep Bains, who we had on the show last week as well, great interview with him, or Åman? Like, how different is it that you have a player here who played in the SHL last year and, you know, looked pretty good at the World Championships as well? So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there was a decent amount of improvement for him, and for penalty killing as well. Like, he wasn't a consistent penalty killer. There were certain games where he didn't have any minutes on the PK, but then there was other games in the SHL where he had, you know, 2 minutes plus killing penalties. So I think that's what the Canucks are going to want to use him like in Abbotsford. He'll be a center. I think they need to work on faceoffs with him. Like I said earlier, he's not great in the dot. But he's really good at playing the position of center. So we'll see what happens with him moving forward. He might even be like in the situation of like the Pettersson situation on the Lotto line, like where he doesn't have to take faceoffs but plays as a center. We'll see if that's something that happens to play out here in the AHL. But it's fine. It's a fine addition. You saw some of the forwards that the Abbotsford Canucks had to put on the ice last year. You know, guys from NCAA that they had to sign at the end of the year that just, you know, had to fit in for some games. Like, you know, Hirano had a really good run, I thought, with the team. But, like, those type of players from the ECHL, I think this is a higher quality than what you'd be doing if you were just plucking guys out of the ECHL to fill your roster. Like, this is a better player right now coming from the SHL than what you'd get out of the ECHL.
quickly wanted to get this in before we transition here. Ian McIntyre had this tweet that the Winnipeg Jets are going to be rejoining the Oilers, Flames, and Canucks for the Young Stars Tournament in Penticton on September 14th to the 18th. Obviously, President Jim Rutherford was talking about the Young Stars Tournament, talking about how they're going there and they're going to have it, but they weren't sure about the teams that were going to be coming. He even cracked a couple jokes about, they said they're still thinking about it, and he's like, I don't really know what they have to think about, but they're thinking about it. So it seems like the thinking is done. The Jets, Oilers, Flames, just those four teams for now. Again, I think that's what we saw before. Just those four teams will be playing the Youngsters Tournament.
Seattle's got to try and sneak into that mix, right?
Maybe in a future year, but it doesn't really make sense to have five teams there. You know what I mean? For the tournament.
Have as many as you want.
Well,
it's not like you're like really like, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying. But like, oh, like tournament format, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know.
You know, but it's not like, it's like, it doesn't really matter who wins this tournament. You just want to play as many games as possible. Sure. Throw another day on there. Bring in Seattle.
Okay.
More prospects. We'll be out. Well, I'll be out there.
Prospects though. And yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think they'd have enough prospects.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too, but they'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out.
Bring the Thunderbirds up here. They had a good year.
There you go.
Okay. Or having a good year. I think they're still in the WHL playoffs.
The Thunderbirds?
Yeah. Who am I? Yeah. Seattle. What's the Seattle's WHL team? I was thinking
UBC.
Team?
I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, Seattle Thunderbirds,
right. WHL. Sorry. We don't go south of the border here.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I got to get my passport figured out.
Okay, we'll talk about that on a Patreon episode. But I just wanted to quickly get this in. Speaking of the Oilers fans and some media having a meltdown over Sportsnet and the Scores Twitter accounts poking fun at the Oilers getting eliminated from the playoffs. I don't understand this at all. I think it's ridiculous. I think if those fans were around in 2011 when it was literally everybody versus the Canucks, they may have actually spontaneously combusted. I don't know what would have happened to these fans because the sensitivity here is ridiculous. And for those that don't know, the Score tweeted out a Oilers logo getting erased by an Avalanche-colored hockey glove and replaced with the word losers. The Avalanche wipe out the Oilers after a great season. And then Sportsnet's post was a man falling face first into a swamp after getting bonked on the head by an Avalanche logo. Caption, turn the lights off, carry me home, which is obviously the reference to the Blink 182 song, all the small things that they sing during the Colorado games, which is so cool, by the way. I think you saw that live, right? But those were the posts, and fans just lost their minds. Both outlets deleted their tweets, and that, I don't know, like, okay, so Canucks Army, for those that don't know, our parent company is the Nation Network. Oilers Nation is the biggest site in the Nation Network. They're based out of Edmonton, all that. You've heard this all before. I'm regretting not posting anything because even though most of the people at our company are Oilers fans, I think they would have found that funny. I think so. If we post that on Canucks Army, I'm regretting it now because Sportsnet and the Score both deleted their tweets. It's like, come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was like, it's like, come on. It's sports, man. Like, this is the thing where you're allowed to, like, this is the spot where you should be, like, joking as much as possible. And it's like, I don't know. That, I just hope we never get to a point where it's like, you can't joke about sports anymore. Like,
this is what, serious, guys.
Yeah, like, this is what sports, and they got swept, man. Like, they had a fine run. If you're the Oilers and you told them, like, hey, you're going to get to the Western Conference Finals against the Avalanche this year, you tell an Oilers fan at the start of the year, they'd be like, hell yeah, sign me up. We'll, you know, we'll see what we can do against the Avalanche in the Western Conference Finals. So they should be, the city was great. I think getting swept and having, like, you know, I'm not saying like it was bad by Sportsnet and the Score, but like, good for them, like, immediately going at it, like, right after they were swept. Like, that's awesome. That's funny. That's sports. Like, go, you know, go have some fun with it, dude. This is, although, like, you're playing a sport for a living. Like,
someone did point out, and this is the only fair criticism, said, what were they posting when Toronto got swept? It was like eulogies, or not swept, sorry, lost in Game 7 to Tampa. It was like eulogies of, where do they go from here? This is heartbreaking. This, they
gave
team
us
was
respect
so good.
In the handshake.
Yeah,
line.
That was the big story of the night.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know what? That's a very fair criticism.
Actually, I don't even remember what they had, but here's the thing. You can't even lease. The Leafs fan base is so big, they'd get canceled like that. So they can't even take that risk there.
But, like, even if we think of, like, just remember that night where the Leafs did get eliminated, like, the memes were all over the place. Like, I remember I put out a tweet and was just like, drop your Leaf memes underneath here. I got like 100 comments of, like, Leaf memes that people were making. So, like, you know, and the Leafs fan base is, you know, one of the biggest here, maybe in the NHL. So like to see that they weren't wanting as much, I don't know. I found it. I didn't see like a lot of the Oilers whining that you talked about, Quads. Maybe you see a little bit more than this than I do, because I know you follow a lot more Oilers people, but like Oilers Nation did an excellent job. I seen Elliot Friedman gave a shout out to our boy Zach Lang as well for like the coverage that they did over there. So shout out to our sister company or brother company or whatever you want to call them over there at the freaking Oily Boys, whatever they are. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I thought it was all fair, yeah. Honestly, and I didn't think there was much of a problem with the tweet. I just thought it was, I thought it like, it wasn't because like the way that I've been like trained to do tweets at Sportsnet 650 is like, you don't want to like push the limit too much or like do too, you know, get too risky. You just want to like get the information out there and, you know, have it out there. So like shouts to whoever was running the Twitter account for Sportsnet of the day, because people all think this, well, like this is a little, you know, inside baseball here, but it's not like, you know, the people running these accounts for like SportsCenter are normally just like a producer who's working the show. Like when I'm, you know, when you see tweets from Sportsnet 650, that's not like the social media person for Sportsnet 650. It's me, like as I'm producing the show, having to put out those tweets. So like shout outs to whoever did that for Sportsnet. I hope they didn't get fired because the tweets had to get deleted, but like, you know, they went for it a little bit, and I like that. I think that's great.
And if you see like the Bleacher Report or all these other NBA accounts, these media, they do that kind of stuff all
routinely.
The time. So it's just soft, especially when you look at how the 2011 Canucks were villainized. Like they were actually villainized. People hated Kessler and Burrows. I've never seen a team since then villainized as much as the 2011 Canucks. So
it was an us versus them kind of thing.
There was like some whispers of it. I feel like when Edmonton got to the Final Four and won the Battle of Alberta, of like Canada's team now, and like, you know, that didn't really catch.
I'm not saying like, come on to you. Yeah,
no, for like a day or two, that felt like something that was around Twitter, and they did not catch at all with anybody, because everyone was like, honestly, like I think that final was going to just be about like how fun it was to watch McDavid and McKinnon. Like, and I had a lot of fun watching the Western Conference Final, watching those players go to battle every night. I think there was some moments where, well, there's a lot of moments where Colorado just looked much superior, but you got the good runs from McDavid. You got, you know, the McKinnon line looked great as well. Like it was what I think a lot of us expected. I think if you would have gone back in time and like given, you know, a couple outcomes that you would have thought this series was going to go on, a lot of people would have said, you know, a sweep by the Avalanche. That didn't shock me at all.
No, exactly.
I think the goaltending was the thing that I was worried about for the Avalanche, and it didn't end up costing them in the series.
I don't want to spend too much time talking about the Oilers, but the one thing I want to say about the Oilers is this feels like this is their best. This is the best team they can make, and I think Ken Holland's going to make some bad moves this offseason, and they're going to backfire next year. But I don't spend too much time talking about it. Harmon, you had something that you talked about right before the show went on air here. Lessons from the Tampa Bay Lightning that the Vancouver Canucks should be taking. I thought it was a really interesting point you brought up, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just kind of looking at the way the Lightning are constructed, and you look at their right side, it's actually pretty weak. They've got Eric Chernak, who is a stud top four defenseman, right? Defensively oriented, shutdown guy, big physical. So that's the one box you'd need to check off. And make no mistake, Chernak is an absolute beast. But behind him, they have Zach Bogosian and Cal Foote, both of whom are replacement level defensemen. Now, why can they get away with a fairly weak right side? Well, because they've got the best left side in the NHL with Hedman, McDonough, and Sergachev. Now, the point I'm trying to make there is when you then look at the Canucks' blue line situation, and they have a good starting point on the left side with Hughes and Ekman-Larsson, the right side is obviously a disaster. What that tells me is, yes, the Canucks are going to need at least one stud righty, but you don't necessarily need two, right? The Tampa model has shown that you can have three of your four horses be left-handed defensemen as long as they're good enough. And so that sort of tells me that whether it's the draft or whether it's on the trade market and you're potentially shopping, let's say a JT Miller or a Connor Garland or a Brock Besser, and you're looking for defense prospects, don't limit your search exclusively to right-handed defensemen. Obviously, if all else is roughly equal, you can go out and you prefer the righty, but in absence of that, chase the highest upside player possible. Chase the player that you think has the chance to be an elite defenseman, regardless of if he plays the left side, regardless of if he plays the right side. The Canucks just need more elite blue line talent, period. I mean, imagine if I remember all those kind of years ago, back in 2019, I think it was, and ironically, JT Miller was part of that McDonough deal. But imagine if the Lightning looked at their left side and said, "Oh, we have Hedman, we have Sergachev," and went, "We can only go after right-handed defensemen." They wouldn't have traded for McDonough, and McDonough's been such a beast for them. And McDonough, actually, the Lightning have so many stars that he kind of gets overlooked in terms of his value. Mm. He is such an important core player for them. And that was at a time when everyone was saying, should the Lightning go after Erik Karlsson, right? Obviously, the Sharks ended up getting him, but people looked at Tampa's right side and said, it's kind of weak. They should go after a righty. And guess what happened? They instead went for the lefty, and now they've got Stanley Cups to show for it. Again, we'd prefer the righty, but in Vancouver, we just need elite blue line talent, period.
I found it interesting too, because like I believe I saw this in the regular season that Victor Hedman's most consistent partner was Jan Ruda,
yeah,
right? Who like is now what playing? I think he was like third pairing, even like getting like did he get scratched this playoffs?
Yeah, he was scratched at points. Yeah.
So he's the guy who played most consistently with your like Victor Hedman's by far the number one there. Like you mentioned McDonough, and you bring up Sergachev, great example of good left shot defenseman. But you know Hedman's the number one guy. And they found a fit with Ruda. I'm sure that they want to have like a better option, especially with a guy like Hedman, who like very different defenseman. Victor Hedman is from Quinn Hughes here in Vancouver, where with Hughes, you need a bigger body. With Hedman, you can play whatever right D just makes sense. So, like they have some real options on how they can build like a long-term pairing for him. And that's kind of interesting that Hedman's still been able to be in the Norris conversation every year for the last handful of years, it feels like. And he doesn't have this right D who even helps him. So, like, I'm not saying the Canucks need to go that way. I really think because of the way that Quinn Hughes plays, and just honestly, like, you hate to say it, but like because of his size and the fact that he's not a 6'7" monster like Victor Hedman, I still think it's a little bit more important to have a really, you kind of need a defenseman to be the guy playing with Quinn Hughes more than you do a guy like Hedman.
Yeah, it is fair. And I think the one thing to actually a couple things for starters, I think a lot of people also look at, oh, if you have three lefties, well, how are you going to get enough ice time? Well, you look at the way Tampa's minutes are distributed on the back end. Sergachev still plays a ton of minutes, despite technically on paper being on a third pair. If you look at their top four defensemen by ice time, Hedman, McDonough, Sergachev all cracked the list. So it's not a matter of just because, let's say, Jan Ruda is playing next to Victor Hedman, he's not going to be playing 20, 22 minutes a night.
Yeah.
They find ways to creatively feed their lefties the majority of the minutes. And secondly, I mean, you brought up a great point in terms of the size thing. What that kind of tells me is a Luke Shen type defenseman could be that sort of Ruda type guy. Again, all of this assumes that, again, you'd want two stud righties in a perfect world. But if there's a scenario where, let's say, at the deadline, everybody was talking, there was a little bit of speculation about, oh, could the Canucks land Bowen Byram type thing? If let's say there had ever been a scenario in the deadline where a Byram was available, and the Canucks are, let's say, again, this is all hypothetical because Byram's not going to be available anymore, but let's say they were looking at Byram and let's say Nils Lundqvist in the Rangers system. You could look at those two and say, all right, we really want the righty in Lundqvist, but if Byram's a way better prospect and he's got a much better shot of being an elite defenseman, and that's the sort of scenario where it applies, and you say, let's just take the best defenseman, take Byram, even though the righty would be the better fit, or even to bring up the same Rangers example. And again, I don't think the Rangers were willing to give him up. I think the Canucks we're kind of kicking tires, but Keandre Miller. Again, same sort of situation. If there was a scenario where the Canucks could have landed Miller as opposed to Lundqvist, I don't think the Canucks should have looked at Miller and been like, he's a lefty though. We already have two good lefties. No, you go out in that situation and you get Keandre Miller if he's available. So I think that's where that philosophy applies. Where if there's a big talent differential, just chase the best defenseman.
And Keandre Miller has been fantastic.
Yeah,
he's been excellent.
I think we all knew he was good, but this is making me think, okay, this guy could push himself into that Norris conversation in years to come. And again, I know the Norris is basically Cale Makar's to lose for the next X amount of years. And even though I gave Roman Josi a first place vote, I've already talked about this. You know, there's kind of that upper echelon of of defensemen in the NHL, and seeing Keandre Miller's performance in the playoffs is making me think he can really push to that level. Like, he could be in that tier.
I don't see it personally, especially because I don't think he has power play upside. And the biggest thing is I don't like his decision making with the puck. But I agree overall that he's going to be a stud. I liked him a lot as a prospect. I earlier in the year before the Miller hype started to kind of pick up steam, I've always been a fan of his game. But yeah, he's really high upside player. And obviously, again, he's played himself off the market. The Canucks aren't going to get him anymore. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it applies, or just chase upside.
Exactly. And the only chance Miller ever has of getting power play time is if they go two defensemen in. Because Adam Fox isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, I think you can also look at this to another level, like in the draft. And I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier. But the Canucks need, and not only because they need defense prospects in general, but you need to just like, you don't know what your team's going to look like by the time that defenseman gets here either. And having, like you said, like let's look at the Avalanche as an example. Being able to bring in a prospect like Bowen Byram to just come into your team when you're starting to become a playoff team, or like they've been a playoff team for a while, but when you're starting to get deeper into the playoffs and now you're adding Bowen Byram as your third pairing defenseman, like to come in like on the depth charts, but now he's playing even more minutes. He's playing like top 4 minutes now for Colorado. Say the Canucks do that with, you know, Leon Bichsel or Owen Pickering or these big, big left shot defensemen who are really going to be there between where the Canucks are going to pick at 15 and where they might trade down to somewhere, you know, between 15 and 25. You really need to just go after the best defenseman. And I see that so much from people like replying or in the comment section for a lot of the draft coverage that we're doing right now. And it's like, why are we keep bringing up these European left shot defensemen? We need a big right shot Canadian kid. It's like, no, take the best defenseman, dude. Like, I don't mean, like, listen, maybe you think the Canucks are a leader right D, but are you stupid if you're not taking the best defenseman? Like, seriously, you need to take, like, the best player available, whether it be a left shot or right shot guy. I've been saying that the whole time for the draft because you don't know if the Canucks and their management group's able to even, like, shake out an OEL in the next 2 to 3 years somehow to move him somewhere, or what happens with the team moving forward if OEL moves to the right side, or, like, there's so many possibilities that to draft a defenseman, and this is the whole take of, you know, don't draft by position if you're drafting with your first round pick, but, like, don't draft by position and side. Like, it's not like it would be like going in there and be like, well, we don't really want this guy because Slavkovsky plays more on the left wing, but we need a guy to play right wing on our team. Like, it just seems ridiculous to me. Like, you need to go, the Canucks specifically, the way their prospect pool is, they need quality just as much as they need quantity, man. They need quantity of quality, like, moving forward. They need so much that you can't pick and choose just to get a right D in this draft. Like, I think it's ridiculous, but I'm also like, I do sort, like, I get where you're, I really understand your point, Harm, but I still think that, like, goal number one for the Canucks, and to throw out your whole argument, but, like, they need a right shot defenseman to play with Quinn Hughes. Like, that needs to be number one that they're doing this offseason, because now that you have Hughes locked up, I think that you want to make one of your best players, like, even better. And I think that getting the right shot defenseman still needs to be, like, the number one thing for the Canucks. But, like, I do see your point. I think their left side looks solid with, like, Travis Dermott's numbers, like, just been looking at a little bit more, like, even, like, the Hockey Viz charts that I've been looking at with Dermott lately. Like, he was, like, the best defenseman defensively, like, in Toronto, though he was playing against bottom six competition a lot, so it's kind of a little bit different situation. But he has excellent numbers, like, defensively and offensively. So to see, like, Dermott and Rathbone fighting out for that third spot, you have to feel pretty good about the Canucks' left side. But to your point, if you can add a better player that's better than those two, absolutely you should go for it. Even if he is a left shot guy, and now you have five NHL quality left shot defensemen, you can make it work.
Yeah, and even with, look at Colorado, right? A couple summers ago, where they already had Sam Girard, they already had Bowen Byram in the system, is they were basically set long term on the left side in terms of puck moving offensive defensemen. That did, and if anything, they needed probably a second righty behind Cale Makar.
Right.
And especially with how injury prone Eric Johnson is, and yet they went out and still got Devon Taves. They didn't look at their left side and say, we have enough lefty puck movers for the long term. They said, screw it, Devon Taves is so good. This is a unique opportunity. We're going to take advantage of it. And again, like, I don't want to get it confused where I'm saying, oh, like, don't go after these right shot defensemen. You still need your Eric Chernak, right? Like,
yeah, but don't limit yourself to it.
Exactly. Right? That's all I'm saying. So
yeah, no, most definitely. I think it's going to be interesting to see. Like, and there's, There's a couple like other options out there that I was really curious. Like Connor Clifton had really good numbers with Boston last year. He might not even be a guy where Boston's going to have to make a decision, right? Because with all the injuries that the Bruins are going to have going into next season, the questions behind Bergeron now firing their coach, like a guy like Clifton's on a 1 year, $1 million deal. He's physical for a guy who's 5'11", moved the puck really well, was one of the best, you know, top 25 defenders for expected goals against last year of defensemen who played 1,000 minutes. I really like Connor Clifton as a guy that they could target. I mean, at $1 million next year, that's a guy who I like think that even though he's 5'11", like I would play him with Quinn Hughes. I think he's a huge upgrade to Luke Shen.
I like Clifton a lot, but I think he's too small to play with Hughes, even though he plays with an edge. It's kind of like, I just think that pairing would be too small, and Clifton's only ever done it in kind of a sheltered role.
Right.
That's true. I still like him a lot as a player.
Yeah, and those are the guys that are playing with Hughes, though. Like, and that's what kind of like piqued my interest of Clifton was like, you look at his numbers playing in a depth role compared to Luke Shen's numbers in a depth role, and like they were very impressive. Like very impressive defensively. Like I just think he's the type of player that would be an example. And then like really cheap options. Like, are you more of a fan of like a Colin Miller coming off like an injured year?
I don't like Colin. I used to like him as a potential roll of dice on the guy. You can't trust him defensively.
Right. I'm going to be really,
it's tough to find the right. And it's interesting because I think in an ideal world too, I think Canucks look at their decor and I think they feel, man, we would love it if we could run a Dermot Shen third pair. Mm-hmm. And on paper, that would be one of the best third pairs in the NHL too. It's just, can you find the right guy? And that's, even when you look at the free agent market outside of Letang, there's a whole lot out there. I mean, people will talk about Josh Manson's going to get overpaid. I've been watching him closely in the playoffs just because I know that there's going to be discussion about Manson. Yeah, he's physical. Yeah, he plays abrasively. Yeah, he can break up the cycle. I'm not in love with some of his net front coverage. I haven't loved his game, to be totally honest, in these playoffs. I just think he's the sort of player who is going to get overpaid personally and for agency, given the scarcity of right shot defensemen and particularly his kind. So I look at Manson and I go, yeah, he'd be nice to have, but at what cost, right? And so it's not going to be an easy hole to fill this offseason, especially if you're trying to find a plug and play option.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, just on top, like for Hughes' situation, I don't think you're going, like, even with trading, I just think there's such a value on a guy that you, like, love as a right shot guy to play on your first pair. Like, Jan Rutt is a free agent. He's going to get paid, too, like, in a similar way that Manson, because he was able to play with Victor Hedman and be the guy playing top 5-on-5 minutes. Like, Jan Rutt is going to get paid. He's not even playing very much in the playoffs now. Like, he's going to get a massive payment this offseason because someone's going to be like, oh, he's a big body. You can play the right side with our left shot defenseman and shore up our top four.
Yeah, maybe. I think Rutt is different, though, because I think people look at Hedman and go, Rutt is not a legit top 4D, whereas Manson has been a top 4D for a really long time. Yeah. So, but you're right.
But I think Rutt is going to get paid.
Maybe.
But he's not coming in making 1.5 or even 2.5 next year. Like, I'm seeing him over 3.5.
Probably. I don't see that.
I think Rutt is going to get paid.
I would say
the Canucks would maybe want to go for a guy like that. Like, if you want to look at an option.
To be totally honest with you, I don't even think Rutt is better than Luke Shen.
Really?
I think they're in the same tier, kind of my point, as like third pair guys who next to an elite defenseman can kind of hold their own.
Okay, so I was just going to say, like, because when I was going to transition here a little bit to Harmon, you said the right D market on free agencies is like not great aside from Letang.
Yeah.
I just looked at it, and Harmon couldn't have been more bang on. Do you want to hear some of the names that are topping this free agent class?
Yeah, tell me more about Eric Gudbranson being a top 5
option. Oh my gosh. So PK Subban, Anton Strahlman, John Klingberg obviously is going to get paid. Josh Manson, Justin Schultz, Colin Miller, Ethan Bear. Is Ethan Bear an option, right?
Like, and I think he's an RFA too.
Yeah. He is, yes. No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Yes, he is. Sorry. I don't know why it listed him, but Erica Branson is a name out there as well. Like, I saw someone saying, oh, they should bring back Stetcher or Good Branson because both of those guys can play in the third pair role.
Yeah.
Erica Branson was misused here. I think we've talked about that a lot, but do you want a reunion in Vancouver?
I'm not so sure. Ecstatic about coming back.
Man, I'm in my final 2 weeks here at Sportsnet 650. I had my biggest yelling match of my career at Sportsnet the other day when Bick was talking about trading for Connor Murphy. Like, if you get into the point of, like, Connor Murphy's making $4.4 million, he's probably the worst puck mover to play top 4 minutes last year. Like, and that's the guy that you want. Like, the conversations about the right D market are just wild to me. Absolutely wild what's going to happen to this team. And that's where it's like, Harm, your whole point, like, even to circle us back to it, is like, maybe LD is going to be the spot where, like, you are going to get significant value with what the right shot defensemen are going to be asking for. This is a premium position, but something else you brought up, which is really, I think, important to touch on, is like, look at how these teams that are remaining, look at how good Tampa's doing it, look at how good Colorado's doing it, where they're just getting their best defenseman more ice time. Whether they're left shot or right shot, they're figuring out ways, like you've been saying, to get them on the ice more. It doesn't need to be, you know, Quinn Hughes with Luke Shen for 18 minutes of 5-on-5 every night. There's times where you can throw a pairing out of OEL and Quinn Hughes. There's times where maybe you really need offense and it's Jack Rathbone playing with Quinn Hughes. Like, there's little minutes where it's like, yes, I wouldn't play Rathbone with Quinn Hughes for 18 minutes a night, but would 3 minutes of five, would two long shifts hurt the Canucks that bad every night?
I honestly really wanted to see, for certain situations and shifts, OEL Hughes.
Yeah.
Like, I think, to me, especially because, and this is one of those things too, where you stack your two best defensemen together for, again, certain situations. This isn't a consistent, you're not starting your game with OEL Hughes, but no. you can manufacture ways to get, like you kind of mentioned, you can find ways to get the defenseman that you want up to the minutes, up to the 20 plus minutes you want, even if they're on different D pairs.
Yep. I know, I completely agree with that. I think that's something they could explore more. And I think, you know, Travis Dermott's a good example of a guy you're confident to play the right side. Like, you know, is there a time where you really need to move the puck up when you have, you know, your top line loaded with Pettersson up there? It doesn't hurt to throw the Dermott-Hughes pairing out there every once in a while. It doesn't need to be Hughes and Shen or Hughes and insert right D who's defensively responsible here. Like, there's times where I think you can push that a little bit, and kind of that's going to get you more ice time for your good puck moving defenseman who might be buried a little bit on a third pairing. And that could be Jack Rathbone or Travis Dermott
next season. Just to outline once again how bleak the right-handed defense UFA market is, on Cap Friendly's list, Noah Juulsen is listed at 21 among all of the options. So
yikes.
Troy Stetcher 10, Erik Branson 8. It's bleak out there, folks.
Louis Erickson's flipping his stick to the other side. He's going to hop into the RD market next.
Okay, a couple things. I put it in a couple group chats. I said, am I crazy or is PK Subban like a good option for the Canucks to go get at a really low number? I thought about it a little more, kind of worked it out. I am crazy. That is not a good option. And Subban kind of held his own, but he's playing like 18 minutes a night on a third pair and with Ty Smith. And yeah, I don't think PK Subban is an option, because someone messaged it to me and I thought, like, oh my gosh, like this might be it. Like, Subban's going to come in. He's going to be cheap. We know the owner here loves guys you've heard of per 60 on this team. So PK Subban, I thought about it for a second, then I thought about it a little more. I feel
like when you told me $2.5 million, I was like, yeah, I'd go for PK Subban. Well, yeah, but
he's going to be a third pair guy, right? And
but maybe he is a third pair guy who can play in your top four.
If you're a bad team.
Which, right? We'll see what the Canucks are next.
I mean, they've got Luke Shen playing in their top four, man. Like,
yeah.
I guess PK Subban makes a little more sense than I thought at first, but I don't know. The UFA market is bleak. It's
another example of, like, the right D market is an absolute mess. Like, I'll tell you what. I see people, like, they see how much money, like, Ronaldo makes and how much Mbappe got on his last deal. And they saw, like, oh, I'm going to make my kid into a soccer player. It's like, no, dude, if you're Canadian, get your kid right-handed playing defense. Like, that's what you should be doing.
Oh, man. Okay, we'll transition a bit here. Report from Elliot Friedman on Donnie and Dolly. That Mike Yeo is reportedly a name to keep an eye out for if the Canucks add an assistant coach. And then just around the league, we've heard Mike Smith, Jason Gregers of Oilers Nation reporting that Mike Smith is contemplating retirement, thinking about it. So something to keep an eye on. He's got 1 year left on his deal. So the goaltending situation with Mikko Koskinen's contract obviously expiring could look a little bit different in Edmonton next year. And then Johnny Gaudreau getting a full court press from the Calgary Flames. That, according to Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli. So that's something to keep an eye on, the Gaudreau thing especially, because if the Flames go all out and it's north of 10.5 or it's north of 11 million, there's going to be some good players available from Calgary. Like, they're not going to be able to fit all of that. They have 11, they still have to get Tkachuk done. They have 11 expiring contracts. You have to allocate, I'd say, at least 18 million, maybe 16, 17 is more the range, to Tkachuk and Gaudreau. Like, you have to allocate that much to those two guys, and then you're not left with much else. They've got their entire third pairing is expiring on expiring contracts. They've got 11 main roster players that are on expiring deals, and they've got to get it done with $26 million worth of cap space. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on, because the names like Andrew Mangiapane, does Tyler Toffoli somehow become available in trades again?
I'd be surprised. I think they...
Toffoli's good value.
I think they find a way to get rid of Monahan.
Well, he's on LTIR.
We'll see on his situation. I don't know if he's going to be on LTIR the entire year.
That's fair.
Because if he's not going to, then you have to find a situation where you can trade him.
Yeah, I think we talked to Ryan Leach on the Sportsnet show, and he would say that, like, that's the situation with Monahan. He is going to come and try and play. I don't think he's a long-term LTIR.
So I think they'll try and move Monahan and Lucic, and if they have to pay assets for that, then so be it. But even if you retain, let's say, half on Monahan, at $3 million or whatever, a shade over $3 million. And I know he's coming off injuries and whatnot and not a great year, but teams are always looking for centers. And you could practically get him for free. Is there a team out there with cap space that would want to roll the dice on a potential middle six center for essentially free? It wouldn't surprise me. And then if you have to pay assets to get rid of Lucic's last deal, especially since I think most of the cash is already going to be paid out after a signing bonus. Yep. So it shouldn't be the hardest contract to move. I agree. I mean, if you can find a way to squeeze out, let's say, a Dylan Dubé, I think that could be a realistic possibility. But yeah, I'd be surprised if a Toffoli or Mangiapane became available.
That's fair. I'd be worried if I was the Flames. If you're a Flames fan, though, like I think this was your year where you had all the chips.
Similar with the Oilers, guys. Like, very similar.
The Oilers have some players coming that are going to.
What are they going to do? They can't re-sign Evander Kane. I don't think they're going to. That's like their leading scorer in the playoffs, other than the two guys ahead of them.
Yeah, well, that'll be Kuzmenko next year, anyways.
Oh yeah, we should talk about that. Kuzmenko.
Want to do that on the other side? We got to get to a break here. What's going on?
Oh yeah, we'll go to break. Actually, we don't even have any. You know why are we going
to
do a break?
All right. Well,
I've been
trying to crack this energy drink. I don't want to do it live on the air here.
Here, I'll meet your mic.
Well,
crack your energy.
We got to hear it now.
No one can hear you. I muted your mic.
Waiting for a break the whole time.
I've still got your mic muted. Nobody can hear you.
Can you not hear me in the background? Yelling about it?
I'm sure people can hear that. Okay, here. I unmuted your mic. You're free from jail.
Anyways.
Okay. So, Rick Dollywall.
Trying to crack this thing for a half an hour here. How deep are we into the show?
Dude, we're 51 minutes in.
That's what I say. I was like, this is the longest we've gone without taking a break. I know, you know, P49's off the table now, you know.
Okay.
But that's too bad.
Can I get to this report, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Free agent Andre Kuzmenko has landed in L.A. That's what Dollywall tweeted. So I'm like, oh, okay, we got to get this. He's signed with L.A.
The way that showed up on my Twitter, because, like, you know how a tweet comes down, and then, you know, when you get the whatever, you're scrolling something else, and then you get the notification. And it doesn't show the full tweet. It shows like the first three lines normally. And that's the way it was. And so like, I was just like, I quickly looked at it and I was like, oh, and I was just like driving out of my parking garage at the time. And I just saw the notification come down. I'm like, God damn it. That sucks. He landed in LA. I was like, the Kings, who I didn't even know were in on him, are the team that ended up getting him. So I was like, wow, that sucks. And then I get here to the studio and I'm like, oh, wait, and I read the whole tweet. I'm like, oh, thank goodness.
So the rest of the tweet, he will start meeting with teams on the shortlist. No meeting date has been scheduled for Vancouver yet, but Canucks will get a second interview. Decision is still a couple weeks away on Russian free agent Andre Kuzmenko. Chris, what do you think the Canucks' actual chances are of getting him signed?
I think the Canucks' chances are 35% for the Vancouver Canucks.
That seems low. But you know what? I did the predictions article not too long ago, and I predicted the Edmonton Oilers because I feel like they just have more firepower to offer. They have the PP one time, potentially. They have all these different things that they can offer Kuzmenko, aside from living in Edmonton.
Send him the video, the tourism video.
Send him the tourism
video. The Jason Kenney.
I think Edmonton is 50%.
I liked Edmonton. Like, I like going there.
Okay.
Okay, get out of here.
It's true.
You already... Well, you're in contract negotiations.
No, I'm done. I'm all good. I'm not just saying that. Anyways,
I think Edmonton, I'd peg Edmonton at 50%. I'd peg the Canucks number two at 35%. I'd put Vegas at about 10%. And then what do I got left here? 5%?
Yeah.
Some wild card team.
Okay. All right, ready for the poll question? Which I did while you guys were talking.
Edmonton, Vegas, Canucks. Those are my three that the names that I've heard around Kuzmenko.
I went a little off the board for the poll question today. I did. Our episode 269 extra nice poll question brought to you by Atlas Goods. Go to atlasgds.com. Use promo code CC15 for 15% off your first order of Pop Rinds, which if you haven't heard already, folks, are the best fresh pork rinds straight out of your microwave or air fryer. Go check them out. Locally owned company, atlasgds.com. Our friends at Atlas Goods.
You put a little elote on there. You put a little bit of that on there, a little sprinkle of elote seasoning on there. Bada bing, bada boom.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is either, but it's some sort of cheese, and I've heard Guy Fieri talk about it before, so all about it. I got it. Girlfriend ran down to the States and went to Trader Joe's and got some. Came back with some of these spices. She's all on these TikToks where they
cheese source.
It's similar. It's cheese spice.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a source. It's a spice. But she goes down. She watches all these TikToks of this lady who does these Trader Joe hauls, which is apparently pretty. Like Trader Joe's is apparently pretty big on.
I was trying to explain this to the Oily Boys. So I go on our friends at Oilers Nation's podcast, and I explained to them the runs down to the States, and they did not understand it at all. They were like, "Why? What do they have that you don't have here?" I'm like, various spices, various cheeses. There's lots of different options.
Yep, cheap gas. Cheaper gas.
We really need that right now.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But I was trying to explain this to them, and they did not get it. Anyways.
Yeah, you sprinkle a little bit of that on your pork rinds. There you go. Cheddar bacon pork rind.
There you go. I forgot we were in the poll question. Yeah, so no, Atlas sure. Goods, atlasgds.com, promo code CC15.
That's what you got to get on these TikToks here. You get to follow these accounts for the rundowns to the state. They got a whole TikTok section, Quads.
There you go.
You wouldn't know. You're four U's all Addison Rae doing Renegades and Dance and I don't know.
So, Harmon, I don't know if you know this. I don't know who Addison Rae is, and I haven't looked her up because I think this is a funny bit that Chris keeps saying that I, like, only watch Addison Rae. I don't know who this is.
It's not a bit.
I don't know if this is an adult actress. I have no clue talking about, but he thinks I keep watching Addison Rae. I don't know who this is. Anyway, okay. Our poll question, 269. Extra nice poll question.
You hear the quiver in your voice as you lie through the mic, Quads.
I straight up don't know who this is. What team will win the Stanley Cup? That's what I went with. I had to come up with this all by myself.
What, you haven't had any espresso today.
That's really creative.
That's a good question. Come on, that's a good question.
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Oh, that's mailed in. It's not even Friday and you mail it in already? Holy cow. That's the poll question on a big episode 269.
That's a good question.
Oh my goodness!
Come on,
what's next? Who's the best player in the NHL?
How many teams in the NHL city start with V?
That's trivia. Come on, this is a good question. I'm gonna say it right now.
There's only three teams left.
Yeah, exactly. Ridiculous. So we only have four spots. One of which is I'm angry. It worked perfectly. Well,
I know what I'm voting
right
on this
now.
One. Yeah.
So I'm telling you. I bet you both pick wrong. I bet you anything. Like let's bet.
I'm angry. 80%.
No. Let's make a bet. Let's make a bet that you're both gonna pick the wrong team. Well, actually, we can't because you will just pick different teams. But anyway, I'll read you the results. 0% of people say Rangers. 66% leading the vote. The Colorado Avalanche, 20% Lightning, and 14% say I'm angry. Guys, I don't know about you. I'm going with the minority here, Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm saying that the Lightning are going to win the Cup. They are going to three-peat.
Well,
my poll question doesn't suck so much anymore, does it? Now it's starting to spark some conversation and some thoughts.
You literally didn't because you finished your talk and nobody said anything. So
yeah, but you were both thinking. People can't see you both.
We looked at each other and said, "Do you want to answer this? Because I don't want to answer this."
Oh, get out of here!
I would say I'm angry for the answer to this poll question because of the poll question. But here we go. New York Rangers are going to win the Stanley
Cup.
You're
the Rangers. You're going with the 0%. That's really going with the minority.
Yep, I am the 0%.
There are more people who voted I'm angry than there are people who voted Rangers.
Well, that's what I would have voted. And as soon as I pull my phone here, I'm voting I'm angry. But I'll say the Rangers to play your stupid little game here on this brutal poll question. I'll say the Rangers because I still think, Shesterkin is incredible when he's on, and if he's been able to do this if he gets through the Tampa Bay Lightning, like I don't know, I feel like the Lightning beat the Avalanche if they get into that final. Like I think one of the teams in the East can beat Colorado. I think things need to fall into, you know, into the Rangers' lap on a lot of different things. I don't think they're the best team. I think they're probably the worst team remaining here. But I think that in playoff formats where, not to dunk on Drance, but where anything can happen, like, I think that the Rangers might be this team because of how good their anything is with Shesterkin and their defense core being, I think, a little bit better than people think. And honestly, having top-end talent with that kid line working so well, like, they just lost Ryan Strome, I think, though, as well. I think
he's
put out Hedl's out, too, so, like, the kid line's going to take a knock at that point. But I don't know. Something about this Rangers team, I do like what they're doing. So I'll be at 0%.
It's funny because for the playoffs, I usually don't have like big playoff predictions. I always think as long as you're one of like the top eight teams in the league, at that point, anything can happen. And the anything depends on you being kind of like among the top eight-ish kind of teams on paper. And we're kind of at a stage where you could kind of make a case for each one of those teams. I think for me, I'm more inclined to I'm not as high on the Rangers, obviously, just in terms of I don't think they're as good of a team on paper. But again, I can also see that scenario. The interesting thing that I'm going to be watching for is the injury situation with Colorado, because they're out. Like, Kadri's a big, big loss, especially on that power play. It was, you know, actually, I didn't pay too close attention to Colorado's man advantage in the last couple games. But when Kadri was out and they were trying Lekin in there, it just didn't fit the same way. Like, Kadri in that bumper, yeah, they've got Makar, they've got McKinnon, they've got Rand, and I'm sure they'll be all right, but they still need an elite power play, and Kadri's usually been a really big part of that. Kadri was a huge part of their second line. He was having a monster playoffs, and they're already without Sam Girard, and Darcy Kemper's status is kind of up in the air. And that's where, for me, that worries me a little bit, the goaltending matchup in that potential cup final, because against Edmonton, it was, you could kind of go look across and see Mike Smith and be like, we don't have great goaltending. They don't have great goaltending. It's a wash. And once you just look at the rosters on paper, we're going to annihilate them. As opposed to where you look at Tampa, you're going up again, or let's say the Rangers go even make it.
Both teams,
yeah. Both teams, you're looking at a top two goaltender in the NHL. And that worries me a little bit, especially if you're without Kadri and Girard.
Yeah, it's a 7-game series. It's not an 82-game series. Like, a 7-game series, you can have 3 wins from just your goaltender. Easily. Especially with those two guys, with Vasilevsky or Shesterkin. That's why, like, I think Kadri is a huge loss. I think you're bang on with that. And to think about it, I'm pretty sure I'm correct with this. Unless the Rangers and Lightning go to Game 7, the Stanley Cup playoffs final, or the Stanley Cup final, is set to start on Wednesday. So that's a full 7 days off. Sorry, 8 days off. Like, complete days where you don't play a game for the Avalanche after sweeping. And that's a minimum. If they go to 7, I think it's another day or two. Like, you could end up having almost, you know, 7 to 9 days off for the Avalanche team, so they're going to be able to get as healthy as possible. But also, does that worry about you, where, you know, the Rangers end up winning this massive Game 7 and they have momentum now going into this against a team that hasn't played in over a week? Like, I do think that could impact the first couple of games into the series, and, you know, might be something to keep an eye on as well.
My crappy poll question sure sparked a lot of discussion, boys. I'd like to point that out.
It was just low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it was. It's like, come on, man. I don't know.
Whatever, I had to come up with it by myself. I'm the only one that works around here.
Goodness gracious. 269 episodes and you've had to do 3 poll questions.
Hey, man, it's tough work.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I've done it 266 times. Well, actually, no, I didn't do the first 60 episodes.
That's right.
But I've done it over 200 times.
That's right.
Actually, I don't think we've done it in the first few episodes of you and I being together either.
No, I don't think we did.
Listen,
I think
I've done a handful of poll questions myself, so I'll say that.
Went down from 260, 200 plus,
40.
All right, either of you have anything you want to talk about before we close it out here?
I think we hit a lot.
Do you have any prospect stuff? Because that's usually what we do at the end of the show.
Do you have any obscure Swedish prospect?
Yeah, tell us about the guys in the C-League.
The third line, Allsvenskan center.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you about a ridiculous thing that I heard from the NHL draft from a scout.
Yes, okay? Please do. I know this story. This? Yes, okay. Tell it.
So
don't name names, but
no, I'm not going to.
Wait, is it before you get into it? Is it an NHL scout, like for an NHL team, or is it just like a public scout?
Public scout.
Okay.
At the combine, saw a player doing their interviews that I spoke to, and wasn't a fan of the player because he came out from his workout to do the interview with the media, and he had a backwards hat on, and said didn't like that. That's what I was told. And I just find this so ridiculous that it's 2022 and a player can't go in and do a workout, a damn workout, and just come out with his hat backwards. That's going to drop him off. Didn't like that is what I heard. Unbelievable. Like
I work out in a backwards hat. I will say
this, the player that I did hear very much impressed a lot of people. And this is a player that the Canucks could be interested in. Jonathan Lekkarimäki. Apparently he was very impressive in interviews to a lot of people. Leon Bixell was a guy who interviewed with all 32 teams. I think the Canucks have interest in him. He's a guy who's 6'5", left shot defenseman, really like him. I didn't hear anything, but from our conversation with Owen Pickering, I bet he crushed because he is awesome. I seriously think that was the best prospect interview we've ever had on the show was chatting with him. He was like awesome, like just a great kid to talk to. And then obviously I think Jack Hughes was really impressive for the actual just like physical output that he gave at the combine of like being the best, best at doing chin-ups or like pull-ups, I think he finished number one in something else. Jack Hughes played with Aiden McDonough at Northeastern last year. This is the Jack Hughes I'm talking about. It's not, the Devil's guy going back to it's, Quinn's it's brother Kent going back
Hughes, to general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. It's his son, which is so funny to me because he got asked about it. He's like, what are the chances you take your son first overall? He's like zero.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, at least he's being honest. I think just finally, like the Slavkovsky thing, I think we touched on it last episode a little bit. I found it really strange that the Canucks even asked if he could play center because a lot of what Slavkovsky does so well is like play the wing, just be a trigger guy. Like he is very much to me in a very similar boat to Kaapo Kakko, who like he is almost like a carbon copy of that type of player. Big body, similar traits of being a guy who has a good shot, doesn't rely on his shot, but does a lot of other things great. So just some things that I've heard around the combine there. Wanted to get out in the open.
Did you guys see that Scott Wheeler tweet?
No, which one?
So apparently there was a prospect, I can't remember who it was, who was asked by, I think it was either Montreal or Carolina, one of those teams. I can't remember. Maybe you can go back and find the tweet. But the prospect was asked, would you – I'm trying to remember the exact question. It was something stupid. It was like, would you rather pick up $10 off the floor or $50 from inside the toilet bowl or something like that?
Interesting.
And I don't know what the purpose of the question was. Maybe it was like trying to gauge the guy's win at all costs mentality, but it was legitimately, would you rather pick up $10 off the floor or ground or near a toilet? Or would you rather pick up $50 from inside the toilet?
How bad do you want it?
How bad do you want it?
This is so stupid.
You know what this question would be really funny for? And it's like, okay, like, even a lot of, I've noticed like a ton of like the Swedish prospects, their English is all really good. Finnish guys, some of them are hit and miss with how good their English is. Imagine like a kid who like is not very good at English coming in and like you sit down with this NHL team. You've been looking forward to the combine. Like you feel like you had a good workout. You sit down and then the guy's just like, you're like, okay, hi, nice to meet you. You don't speak very good English. And then the GM's just like, would you rather get $50 out of the toilet or would you rather just me give you 10 right here? The kid's just like, wait, what? Like, what kind of language barrier am I missing here?
Okay, I found it. So it was this prospect, Callie Odelius. It was Montreal who, and this is Odelius said after. So you know it's 100% true. This is the prospect himself saying it. He said he was asked by Montreal if he would pick up $10 off the toilet seat or $50 from the toilet. And he said he chose the $50.
Attaboy.
He wants it.
I think
I would have
a Montreal's passing toilet, on Shane right
my
now.
I feel like there's more germs on the seat than there is inside.
My instinct was for the first thing I'd retort back with would be what's the state of of the toilet itself? Is it clean?
They don't like when you ask questions back. I remember a while back. Yeah, I remember a while back. Terry Ryan was asked a question by Mike Milbury, and he told this story a long time ago. Mike Milbury did not like that Terry Ryan got smart with him and asked questions in return. Mike Milbury didn't like that.
Do they like dumb hockey players?
That's fair. That's a good point.
It was like you have 10 minutes left or something. Was that that story? Or
yeah, it was something about having 10 minutes to get to practice.
Yeah. No, that's... Also, is it a Canadian bill or an American bill? Because, like, Canadian bills are waterproof, right? Right?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
If it's a $10 bill and it's in the toilet, or a $50 American bill, it's probably ruined in the water, isn't it?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah, I've had this situation come up before.
It was also funny hearing Kirby Dach back in an interview explaining how when he was interviewing with the Red Wings, Steve Yzerman grilled him about whether he had smoked weed before. Just kept, like, grilling him.
That's so bad.
That's what it is, man. Gosh.
I want to hear more about these obscure questions. Like, we already broke down the which animal are you question last week. Yeah. But
we'll have more prospects on and we'll ask them that for sure.
Yeah, what's the strangest question you got asked? That's a good one to ask prospects as we go. All right, we'll wrap it up there. For my co-hosts, Chris Faber, of course, Harmon Dial, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Money man.
My name is David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration. And Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca.